desire and interest in your prayers this morning. The Spirit of the Lord would meet with us. Today is a day of celebration. And I told Renee, I said, that word celebrate, I thought, what are we celebrating? It almost starts to sound a little bit secular. And I went and I looked up that word celebrate. I want to tell you what the definition of celebrate is. It says to observe a day or event with ceremonies of respect, festivity, or rejoicing. I think Jesus is worthy of celebrating today. And I think Jesus is worthy of lifting up and giving honor. Just as we spoke of in the past, and Brother Cook referred to it, some of our songs, there is vertical praise, and some is horizontal praise. That in the same thing with preaching, the same thing with our worship. Sometimes it is to encourage and challenge. Sometimes there's some admonishment there. And other times it's time of just lifting up Jesus. Well, we are here today to celebrate not Easter this morning. And I'm going to clarify, I don't celebrate Easter. I'm not here this morning to honor the goddess Estrée, of the goddess of fertility, nor Semiramis that traces all the way back to ancient Babylon, where much of the pagan practices that occur today. I'm not here to lift up the Easter eggs and the bunny rabbits, but we are here this morning to celebrate and to honor and give respect to Jesus Christ. And I don't want to do anything that takes away from that message. I don't want to participate in something that begins to take away from what today ought to be. It's not about Easter, it's about the resurrection. It's about Jesus Christ raising from the dead, and in His resurrection, we have great hope this morning. So who is it that we remember? We celebrate Jesus this morning as Savior. We respect Him as our Lord. We remember His sacrifice. We rejoice in His holiness. And we joy in what it means to us this morning. And we thank Him, as has already been mentioned, that we also, all of us, can be a partaker of His resurrection. That we can actually, literally, personally experience the same glory of the Father that raised Jesus from the dead. We can experience that glory that enables us to walk in newness of life. So who is it that we remember? I wrote on the board, who is this Jesus? Who is this that the churches are full of people today? I believe that Resurrection Sunday is the day that probably about more people go to church than almost any other Sunday. Well, who is this that we're here to remember? If you will turn with me over to the book of Luke in the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 7. It said, now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him. He's talking about Jesus. And it said, he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things, and he desired to see him? I would like, by the scripture, just a little bit this morning, to talk about and answer that question that Jesus, or that Herod asked. He said, who is this? Who is this that I have heard about? See, some said it was John the Baptist, did they not? And some said he was Elias. But who is this that I'm hearing is forgiving people of their sins? Who is this that I hear has brought healing to those that were sick? You know, people today are still asking that question, who is this? What is this all about this morning? Why are we here? When we pray, who are we praying to? Who is this? You know, some people know Jesus today. They know Him as a good man. They respect Him as a prophet. They respect Him as someone that gave a good philosophy of life. If you follow Him, He taught a standard of morality. Some know Him as someone to raise their hand to on Sunday and then curse on Monday. Some know Him as just someone that a lot of people are following vainlessly after. But I know Him this morning as a personal Savior. I know Him this morning as a living Savior. You see, I remember in college in some of the classes with studying some of the ancient philosophies and the ethical, the different people that have presented theories of ethics. Do you know that all of them are dead today that I studied? Except one. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is this, Herod asked? Who is this that I've heard about? Jesus Christ had an humble beginning. He wasn't born in a castle. He was born in a manger. But I will say He was born by the declaration of the angels from heaven as well. With that humble beginning, the angels, the heavenly hosts, remember, they filled the heavens and they said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Who is this Jesus? It's someone that brought goodwill to us still today. It's someone that brought peace. But yet Jesus, born to a virgin, His earthly father was a carpenter. And Jesus was raised probably with a hammer in His hand, probably working as a carpenter most likely until age 30. He lived in relative obscurity for 30 years. And He began His ministry at age 30. And His ministry did not last very long. It lasted for just a short 3.5 years. But in that 3.5 years, Jesus founded a kingdom that is still alive today. In that 3.5 years, Jesus established a kingdom that has far surpassed all of the earthly kingdoms that have risen and fallen in that time since then. The prophecy of Daniel, he said, in the days of these kings, there will be a rock cut out of the mountain, not cut out with hands, not made with hands, and it said it would grow and grow and grow until it would fill the whole earth. Do you know the kingdom of God is still alive and well today? And there is still a king in this kingdom. And there are still people that are honoring and revering that king. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? He's someone that established a kingdom. And this kingdom is not of this world, but the kingdom of God is within you this morning. If you know Jesus Christ and you have repented of your sins, you are, as John the Revelator said, we are kings and priests. The Lord has lifted us up from our sinful estate and He's brought us into His kingdom. So who is this Jesus? He founded, you want to talk about religion, Jesus was the founder of one of the greatest religions that mankind has ever known. The greatest. But I want us to understand there are many other religions in this world. Islam. You know, Islam is one of the fastest growing religions in the world today, and it is second only to Christianity. It's not far behind as far as numbers professing now. Islam was founded by who? Muhammad. Muhammad is buried in Medina, in Saudi Arabia. You can go and you can find where his body is. Buddhism. You know what happened to Buddha? His body was cremated. And they were able to say, they took, before he was cremated, they have one tooth. And so they venerate this sacred relic of Buddha's tooth in Sri Lanka. It's a relic there. He's dead. Judaism, we have foundations there. But Abraham is the father of the Jews. He is supposedly buried in the cave of the patriarchs in the ancient city of Hebron. And there is a shrine there and people go and they can worship and they can pray. But Abraham's dead today. Confucius, the grave of Confucius, is in his hometown of Khufu in Shandong province in China. But the founder of Christianity, do you know where he is today? You cannot find a place where his bones are. He was not cremated. He died and he was in the grave for 3 days and he rose again and all of his teaching was vindicated because of the resurrection. We serve a resurrected Lord this morning. All of these other religions that have a founder, all of them are in the grave this morning. They are all dead except for Jesus Christ. Who is this? a resurrected Lord. Who is it we serve this morning? It is because this morning we honor and we reverence Him because He lives, as has already been saying about. Jesus is alive today. We're not following some philosophy of man. We're not following just a code of ethics, but Jesus is alive today, and He is the one that can bring life to each and every one of us in our hearts this morning. Matthew in the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 18. Behold, Jesus was speaking. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death. And they shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him. Sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? Jesus said, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. He's going to be delivered to the Gentiles. He's going to be mocked and scourged, and He's going to be crucified. But the verse said, and the third day He shall rise again. All of the pain and the suffering that is entailed in those two verses there in Matthew, it's just almost done away with that last little phrase. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be scourged. He's going to be mocked. But the third day, He shall rise again. People came on that Sunday morning to the tomb of Jesus in grief. There were disciples that walked away, and I told you before, and I could preach it probably once a month. And I'll spare you this morning, but you may get it again. Those disciples, when they lost their hope and they got on that road to Emmaus, they lost their hope. They walked away from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, going back to wherever they came from because hope was gone. Those women went to the tomb that Sunday morning looking for the Savior to anoint, to see where He was laid. And the angel appeared to them and said, He is not here. Why wasn't He there? For He is risen. He's risen from the dead as He said He would. Jesus is rose from the dead. Do you know the resurrection was a vindication of everything that Jesus taught? If we only had hope, Paul said, wasn't of Christ in this life, we would be of all men most miserable. But we have hope of Jesus Christ because He rose from the dead and He is alive. He rose with a physical body. He was not just a spirit floating around like we could say, well, the spirit of Muhammad and the spirit of Confucius and the spirit of Buddha still remains with us. No, Jesus rose from the dead with a physical glorified body, and He was seen of over 500 people. It wasn't just in a corner somewhere, but all of the teaching of Jesus Christ was vindicated in that resurrection. It is incontrovertibly true this morning that Jesus rose from the dead. Think about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Jesus was arrested. He was accused. He was beaten. He was stripped of His clothes. He was flogged until the flesh was ripped off. He was nailed to the cross because the Romans declared it so. He died. Historical facts. He was wrapped in a burial linen, and His body was laid in the tomb. A Roman soldier stood guard over that. Stone was rolled over it. That stone weighed anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds. But 3 days later, it's just as true that Jesus rose from the dead. The glory of God came down into that tomb, and Jesus was resurrected, and He appeared to people for over 40 days, witnessing for 40 days to people that He had ministered to and to His disciples and His followers. History has never been the same again, has it? History has never been the same again. Who is this Jesus that we've heard about? The resurrection made cowards courageous, did it not? The disciples who were following afar off. Peter, who denied the Lord. After the resurrection, he stood in the face of the Jews and he said, you are the ones that crucified Him. Where did he find that boldness? It was because Peter was now convinced and fully persuaded, because I have seen the resurrected Lord. And he lives, and Peter had another opportunity. Peter was the one that had denied the Lord and failed him. But aren't you thankful for second chances this morning? Who is this Jesus? He is the one that gives you another chance. He is the one that gives you another opportunity. I like opportunity better than chance. Because with Jesus, it can be assured. You have another opportunity where you have failed, where you have let down, where you have sinned. There is another opportunity with this Jesus that we're talking about this morning. It was because the disciples were changed, because now they were men of conviction. I have seen the resurrected Lord. And they were willing with the early morning church to suffer, to be beaten, to be thrown to the wild animals, and to be put to death. And Peter was willing, at his request, to be hung upside down on the cross, because he was not worthy to be on the cross like his Lord. They were willing to suffer these things. Why? For a good man? No, they were willing to suffer these things because he was a resurrected Lord. Who is this Jesus? He is a resurrected Lord. And so they continue to preach and to teach because they knew it was true. So who is this Jesus? What does it mean to us today? We won't take the time to turn to it, but in Matthew in the 16th chapter, and we're not going to read all the scriptures this morning, but I'm going to give you a number of references. Remember when Jesus came to his disciples and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Who is this Jesus? Who are people saying I am? And remember, they gave some the same response that Herod talked about. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. And some say this and that. And Jesus looked to his disciples and said, "But who do you say that I am?" This morning I would ask all of you the same question. Who is Jesus? Who is he to you? And Peter said, now this is answering the question. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but the Father which is in heaven. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Folks, when people ask who Jesus is, the answer is that he is the Son of God. And it was his love for us. This John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." You know what that's talking about? It's talking about God's love for you this morning. Because God loved you so much, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, folks, but he came that through him we might be saved this morning. Who is this Jesus? Some see God as someone to cut people off. Some see him as a God of judgment. But because of Jesus Christ, I see my Lord, my risen Savior this morning, is someone that has his hand of mercy extended to anybody that will call on his name. It doesn't matter if people have rejected him and refused him and denied him. Who is this Jesus? He died because of love, and his love reaches out to all of us today. That's my Jesus. A God of love, the Son of God, not just another man. He's not just a good man, but he's the Son of the living God. And he came from heaven on a rescue mission for you. And he came on a rescue mission for me. He looked down and he saw 2,000 years. He said, "Oh, there's a man, a boy named Michael that's going to be born, and he needs a Savior." Do you know Jesus came down to this earth for you this morning? Who is this Jesus? He loves you. He cares about you. He's interested in you. And he's interested in your loved ones this morning. Those that we're carrying burdens for, who is this Jesus? He's someone that is merciful and kind. I'll tell you else who he is. The scripture said that he was a friend to sinners. He didn't look down and said, "Who's good enough that I'll be their friend?" You know, children, have you heard them? Sometimes it's, you hear children, "Well, they're my friend and they're not." And they get in these quibbles of, "This is my best friend and I can only have one," and have all this conflict. You know, Jesus came to be a friend. And you say, "Well, if I'm good enough, the Lord will walk beside me. If I'm good enough, the Lord will be my friend." Folks, you can never be good enough to deserve His friendship this morning. Jesus was a friend to sinner, and He loved the sinners enough to die, that He loved them enough not to leave them where they were, but to put out His hand and lift them up from their sinful estate, that they too could experience the glory of the resurrected life. He's a friend to sinner. When Jesus walked the earth, over in Matthew the 9th chapter, remember the man that was sick with palsy was brought to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Pharisees sat back as often they did with their condemnation. And they said, "Who is this that forgiveth sins?" And Jesus said, "Is it any more difficult to forgive sins than it is to heal? Take up thy bed and walk." Who is this Jesus? This is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who loved us, that came to be a friend to us, and He came to forgive us of our sin. Forgiveness. Power to forgive. He's also a healer. Is there anybody here that's experienced the healing power of Jesus Christ? You know, the greatest healing is spiritual healing, but He came to be an emotional healer. He came to heal us as we sat there, as some of the songs went forward, and the special songs. I sat there and thought about how a number of years ago it looked like I wasn't going to be able to walk. And there were days that I could not walk. Jesus Christ is my healer this morning, but I rejoice more in the fact that He's my Savior. I would rather go through life lame and have the peace of God in my heart, but I'm thankful that He is all things. He's a healer. He forgives. He's our friend. He's a comforter to us. Remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus walking off in the distance? And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Who is this Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. He offered Himself willingly as a sacrifice, that we might be saved. And you know, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's not just a piece of history. You know, it's not just history. Because every time someone believes in Christ's atoning work on the cross, the gospel happens again. Another resurrection, another miracle happens. It's not just history, but it is about what Jesus is doing in people's lives still today. And do you know the wonderful thing about it is that you this morning and I, we together in the whole world can still experience that miraculous, wonder-working, earth-shattering, history-altering power because of Jesus Christ. It's something we can't do for ourselves. Who is this Jesus? I hope we're starting to get some adjectives. We're starting to get a little understanding of who this is that we're here to celebrate and honor and respect this morning. Some of the children said some verses this morning when Jesus told them, you'll find it over in John chapter 11, when Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha after their brother had died. Remember who Jesus said He was? He said, "I am." Now, these are the words of Jesus. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Believest thou this? Do we believe that still today? Who is this Jesus? He is the resurrection and the life. This morning, there is life in no other. You will never find true spiritual life in the religions of man. You will not find spiritual life in your own way. You're not going to find victory in following your own ideas. And I'm going to go a step further. You're not going to find life by coming to church here in and of itself. You will only find life in Jesus Christ Himself. He is the life giver. I have no grace to give to you. The only grace I can give is as it is from the Father and Jesus Christ Himself. It is a personal experience, and life is only found in Jesus Christ. New beginnings. That's what we heard about in Sunday school. He read over there in Romans 6 and 4, talking about we are buried with Him in baptism. And He went on to say there, I want to read it again. We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is what we celebrate this morning. This is what, remember, who is this Jesus? It's someone that can come and do for me what I cannot do for myself. It's not about turning over a new leaf, folks. And that's been on my heart so much the last year. Too many people are trying, even among the saints' children, the young people, I'm going to try to do better and I'm going to turn over a new leaf. It won't work for you. You may make some good changes, but it's not going to bring spiritual life unless you come and do it through Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I don't have the ability to do that through willpower this morning. I don't have the ability to do that because I came to church here and it says Church of God out there. I can only do it when Jesus Christ, when I open up my heart to Him and He comes in and He works a miracle in my life. And then I can get up and, as Brother Justin talked about, it's thanks to Him. There's no glory to us. We're not here to lift ourselves up and say, look what we are and look how holy we are. No, it's in lifting up Jesus Christ because He is the way. Alright, who is this Jesus? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Who is Jesus? He is the way. There is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. You will not get to heaven through being a good person. Jesus is the way. Jesus also said in John 10 verse 14, He said, I am the good shepherd. A shepherd is one that cares for the sheep. Who is this Jesus? He's the good shepherd this morning. He's looking down on the things that touch your life today, and He wants to walk with you this morning. He wants to go home with you today. He wants to help wipe your tears away. He wants to give you hope when you get up in the morning. And when you're tried and when you're frustrated and when you're tested and you don't know which way to turn, I want you to remember that Jesus is still the way. Jesus is the truth, He's the life, and He is a good shepherd. And He loves me, and the Lord wants to be my friend. Jesus told His disciples in John 16, 33, He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And we say, oh, that's sure right, we sure do. But He said, but be of good cheer. Don't get discouraged now, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. In other words, because He was resurrected, because He overcame the world, thus does He bestow unto us that same peace and that same victory that we can face the difficulties of life and still have the peace of Jesus Christ in our life. For unto us, Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us, now who is this Jesus? A child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on whose shoulders? You know, that takes a burden off me this morning. Isn't that a relief? The government is on His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is this Jesus? That's His name. And I am so thankful that He is also Emmanuel, God with us. Because of time, I just want to give you a few other things that Jesus told us of who He was. Over in the 17th chapter of Revelation, the Scripture said that He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. The Scripture says that He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the one that overcomes all things. Yes, on one hand, He's a lamb of sacrifice, but on the other hand, He is the Lion that has prevailed. So in your life, when you are struggling and it seems like you're in a rut of perpetual failure, I want you to remember who Jesus is and what He came to do. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King above all kings, and He is a Lord above all lords. The scripture in Colossians 1, verses 16 to 18, it says, "For by Him were all things created." So who is this Jesus? He was the Creator. He was there from the beginning. The scripture also said He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Folks, He's the beginning and He's going to be the end, and I want Him to be in the middle, and I'm the only one that has a choice to make if I'll allow Him to be in the middle of my life. Because He started it, and I'm going to face Him at the judgment. So I say, Lord, to be ready, I want You to be part of my life. I want You to experience You. The scripture also says there in Colossians that He is the head of the body, the church. You know what the Pope, if you will allow me, you know what the Pope's on his vesture, on his clothing, one of the things says, Vicar of the Son of God. You know what that vicar means? Power and authority, replacement or substitute. Jesus Christ is alive and He does not need a substitute. Jesus is alive this morning and He doesn't need a man to stand in His stead. He is also, the scripture teaches us in Hebrews chapter 4, that He is a great high priest that has passed from the earth into the heavens to do what? To intercede for us. And the scripture said that if we have a problem, I'm just paraphrasing in our language today, if we have a problem, if we have a need, if we're struggling, He said, come with assurance to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and help. Grace to help in the time of need. He's a great high priest this morning. He's the beginning and the end. And I want to read another scripture, 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. It said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Think about reserving something. You know, Jesus has a reservation for you this morning. The Lord is interested in making a reservation with your name on it. Reservation for an incorruptible crown for eternal life. You know, if you will remember when we think about who is this Jesus, folks, He had reserved a place in heaven for you, and we can be a partaker. I'd like to summarize this morning in closing. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He was a servant. He was a man of sorrow. He was the Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's our Savior. He is the Resurrection and the Life. He is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He is the sinner's friend. He is the great high priest. He is the head of the church. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Prince of Peace. And I want to conclude by saying this morning. He is alive. He's not dead. He's alive this morning. Who is this Jesus? I'd like to close in Philippians chapter 3. Beginning with verse 7, one of the girls said part of this verse this morning. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now before we read on, listen to what Paul's saying here. I've counted everything else in my life but loss. I've forsaken everything. I'm willing to suffer anything that I may win Christ. And now listen, and be found in Him. Be found in who? Who is this Jesus? I hope you have the answer now. Not that you didn't before, but I want you to be reminded of that answer. That I may be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. Who is this Jesus? I'm willing to lose everything that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable into His death. May we this morning, as we remember Jesus Christ, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, may we remember who this Jesus is and be willing to give up whatever we have to give up that we may truly know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen.